CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. I'm your host, Roberto Villegas. Joining me today, friend of the show, Rick Foster!
Am I really a friend of the show?
You've always been a friend of the show, Rick.
Well, actually,
to be honest, I depending
I'm
on...
I'm an enemy of the show.
No. I don't think I've made an enemy. I hope I haven't made an enemy of the show. God, wouldn't that be amazing if... I mean, because there's always the idea of like, internet celebrities having beef. Other internet celebrities, like, that's a joke. Like, you have to kind of stir up controversy so both can watch it. Imagine if, like, your favorite podcast had an honest to God, like, not any like a joke, like, haha, we're gonna go get, like, no, I mean an honest to God arch nemesis. Like, what if like Smodcast was like enemies with Twit? But I mean, like, honestly, enemies, like not the point where Leo's like, man, fuck that Kevin Smith, he is never allowed, like. Like all these kind of crazy things.
He's bad.
He's verboten. Like, I would love. Oh my god, that would be amazing. But or to the point where they're doing like kind of crazy schemes and like you know
you weren't banned before, but now you're banned now.
Well, because you know, like Kevin would do like the whole Batman thing and be like, you know, I'm Batman, motherfucker, and you know has all the utility belts with all the crazy gears and gizmos, and that would have to make like Leo like the Riddler or something like that. It just you know that he has all these dastardly deeds. He's got a Harley Smith captured. It's like come at me, Kevin. Oh my god, I want this. I want this like the arch like the comic book villain podcasts.
That'd be a good idea.
That would be a good idea.
Just start a podcast and then specifically just start beef with every podcast in the world.
Eventually you'll
catch fire with someone.
All right. Here's the question. I'm going to ask this question, Rick.
All right.
You have been congratulations, Rick. Somehow in the grand scheme of things, Hollywood's come to you and said, look, we know that you're a filmmaker. You know, you've made some things, right?
Yes, I have. Director of Dashing for Redemption.
There you go. Sorry. That's a something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have – here is budget. You know, basically I'm giving you imaginary money.
Okay.
And no limit because I don't want to say, like, here's $10 million. But it's you got to understand what it's for.
Kind of wish it was real money, but yeah, go on.
We all do. Mm-hmm. We've been hearing a lot about these podcast things.
All right.
We want you to make a biopic on your favorite podcaster. Or favorite podcast.
Hmm.
All right. What podcast do you pick?
What podcast do I pick? I would say, man.
Because the question is, because we're not even at the point of which who you cast for who. We're first off like you know it's a
you know
blank
what?
Slate because they don't care. They just to me hearing this podcast thing is hot and there's a market to tap in. So like you know this podcasting thing you know we can figure this out. We can. You know,
I would say the Nerdist podcast.
All right,
straight up.
Perfect. All right. Cool. Nerdist it is. The nerds are hot these days too.
Yep.
So then here's
By the way, I like your film voice, executive voice.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well,
nerds are hot.
Well, because I imagine like my nerd, and this is no slight to the director because he's one of my favorite directors, but I imagine that the executives that a Hollywood executive either can have one of two voices. It can either be the I am film executive, like stuffy and sort of CEO sounding. Or it's Quentin Tarantino, on way more crank than normal, but from LA and talking about business as opposed to actually trying to make cool movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the only two. So that's why I'm sort of aping from the Tarantino style of going, hey, I'm a crazy film, you know, that kind of guy, just only because that's that. Oh yeah. So, okay. That's the one with Chris Hardwick, right?
Yep, Chris Hardwick. Yep.
Yeah, well, we can't have Chris Hardwick. He's only known in your circle.
He's too busy.
He's not too busy. He's got the wall. Cameo, but we gotta appeal to middle America. We gotta make this hot, you know. So I'm thinking. Now, there's a little bit of a rub here.
Alright.
We can make some money with this podcast thing, but we gotta make it marketable to China. So can you make Chris Hardwick Asian?
Oh,
I don't mean to be insulting to that, but that is what we're at right now with Hollywood. Is, you know, with like I haven't seen it.
I don't think you can make him Asian. I think you can make his best friend Asian.
Oh yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, we can get God, who is the hot Chinese actor now these days? I couldn't even tell you who is the guy in who was the motherfucking Rogue One? What's his name?
No.
We'll just say Donnie Young. I don't even know. That tells you how bad it is with me because we got to.
I would say Peter Parker's friend in.
We got him on retainer.
I think I don't know.
We got him on retainer somewhere.
We need to. We need to shift from this before I get myself in trouble.
We're moving on. Only because do you find it weird that we're now in a time for Hollywood where we're now designing movies for the international market? Like, and I mean not like having scenes.
No, because I think just the technology has evolved so much that they need I look at it as the J.G. Wentworth problem. You know, I need money and I need it now. So they need to recoup as much money as possible in the beginning. And while they can recoup it in, you know, post theatrical releases through video and, you know, off network deals and stuff like that, executives still have in their mind of like, we need to recoup the money that we put in as quick as possible. So we need to appeal to as many, you know, the widest audience possible.
Yeah,
you know?
I find it cool that we're at that point. We're talking about the idea of having the international audience matter. Because, you know, typically when it comes to box office numbers, everyone always looks at domestic, no matter what. You know, mm-hmm. domestic, everyone looks at, they say, oh, well, it did great domestically, you know, it made its money back, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's never about the, sorry, so the headphone on my freaking shoulder there the whole time. It's never about the, how it did abroad, because it's like, hey, it'll make money or not make money there. Who cares? And I find it really, really cool that we're at a point now where, like, we are designing movies specifically. Like, you could say, like, the Dark Universe, Cinematic Universe with the Mummy that didn't do so hot stateside, but, like, mm-hmm. did pretty well, like, in China and everywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I find it great that is where we're at in Hollywood, where it's like, how do we target this audience and what do we have to do? And specifically China, it's not like Europe or anything like that, even though, you know, because you can now tell where the money is in the world by things like that. Or when it comes to Wonder Woman, when it's like, well, we were not going to show this in, you know, what country did it get banned in? Shit, I can't remember.
Oh, I don't remember.
It was whatever, not Israel, but one of the Middle Eastern countries. Yeah. And I say that just as a generality that should know, but just because of Godot being, you know, who she was and where she was from and sort of her political views. Which is interesting that you could tell, like, yeah, we're not changing any of that because there's no money there. But had it been like China had like done something, they may have changed something, you know. And it's kind of crazy that's where we're at right now. So let's move on to the real topic today. That was more of the intro topic, Rick.
Yeah. Cheetos. We're here to talk about Cheetos.
Yes, we're here to talk about Cheetos. Now, Rick Foster, for those who have never met Rick Foster, is one of my good friends. I've known him for years. I've had him on the show many, many times. And we start talking usually before the show. There's a little bit of a pre-show where we kind of chit-chat, sort of catch up, get to the point where we're like warming up the mics, kind of like a musician would before a concert. And I go, and I usually ask the question, like, hey, how's everyone doing and everything else? I go, hey, Rick, so how are you doing? And Rick goes to me and says,
Dead.
So tell, give the condensed version of the story really quick for people watching, you know, later in the fact, people watching live right now.
So condensed version, I am short 2 credits from graduating. Long story short, either I cannot count or my university cannot count. That is an ongoing matter that I will, you know, we'll talk about till the cows come home.
Like, it's so – like, if you were short, like – because typically what? A class is like 3 credits, right? Like,
correct.
Like, an average course is 3 credits, 4 with a lab, if that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Usually 2 credits are just like – I mean, like you had to take a health class or some shit. Like there's some, you know, for those who have never been in college or looking to go into college, it's like there. I don't think in my experience in college, I don't think I ever had that. So to kind of give an equivalent of UK credits, and this is sort of me understanding, because we have a sort of audience in the UK too. College is that last school that you can go to that isn't like that, you know, because I know in UK you're given choices of like you can go to, you know, specialize in a trade or something like that. College is like last course. And to make a long story short, within the U.S. college system.
Think of it as hours. Yeah. So you have to go to school for a certain amount of hours before they give you your certification. Right. Instead of being like, oh, yeah, like you for each course, it's 150 hours and blah, blah, blah. They say for every hour or, you know, let's look at it from another standpoint. Right. You know, instead of being like, oh, yeah, you need to take 2,172 hours of school.
Right. And potentially, you know, these specific kinds of courses to, you know, mm-hmm. signify that you've learned whatever your degree plan says.
A conversion rate. Right. Yeah.
You know, it's the idea of that. And somehow in the grand scheme of things, even though this isn't supposed to happen because, you know, at one point his data said one thing and he saw it on his website, because there's websites that say like, congratulations, you have enough credits to apply for graduation, provided you pass your finals and everything else. Like, awesome sauce. I'm applying for graduation. Somehow in the mix, two of those courses, which, like I said, typically a class in college is worth about 3 credits.
Correct.
Like I said, I don't know anything that is in my college experience, I don't know of anything that would have been worth 2 credits, period.
Oh, I could tell you.
What is worth 2 credits, Rick Foster?
It's called Journalism Fundamentals or Techniques and Tactics. Journalism Techniques and Tactics.
What the hell is that? Okay, let's dive into that course because that's not like.
I feel like one. I should be laying down on a couch, and you know. And you have your little scribe and, you know, you're writing things down.
Well, that sounds like that name of what you just read off to me doesn't sound like a college course. That sounds like the thing you mail for, you mail for the tape cassette of. That's like the infomercial you have on that you flipped. Yeah, late night. You flipped on Science Channel and they've just run out of playing How Things Work. And they just said, well, someone paid for this infomercial. Like, that sounds like an infomercial tape right there.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't sound like any kind of college. I'm not saying that it sounds valuable.
It sounds like something that should be covered in another course, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that should be part of Journalism 101.
Like you take a reporting class and then you learn all this stuff and then you have to take another course for 2 credits and then turns out you've already learned all this stuff.
RTBL says, what can you do about it in the chat room? And what he can do about it is sign up for the most pointless course on the planet, which we are going to figure out. We're going to try to figure out today. That is our mission today, because we learn about this. And Rick, we're going to try to figure out how we're going to search Rick's site to find these courses, because I want to find Rick, I want you to take.
Do you know what's okay?
Go for
so it's really funny that you mentioned this stuff. I met with a couple of people yesterday from my school, and we were all talking, and they're like, you know, you should take like wine. There's a wine tasting class, and I'm like, oh man, that's great.
No, that's the kind of stuff that has no business being worth. No offense to wine tasting. Wine tasting is fine. It has no business being a goddamn college course. It does.
It does if there is a brew master college on our campus.
Oh, that shit. No, screw that then. No, okay. We're going to
start over.
Okay, you've got to take, like, intro to, like, you know, yeast culmination 101 or something like that. Like, you got to find the most basic beer course you can find. I needed 2 credits. We're going to get, like to the point where it's like, you know, you go in that course. It's like, you're not going to learn anything. It is truly about just getting hammered at college.
I do that all the time anyways, allegedly. So it would be a slam dunk. But surprisingly, after looking into this, a lot of them are filled up because
of course they are. Why?
Because it's the prerequisite into, you know, brewing beer and things like that.
It's a prereq or not. Like there's got to be someone else like, fuck, I need 2 credits. Hey, look, there's a wine tasting course. That's awesome. Like, I want to know how many people are – like, I really want to know specifically in that course how many people are there purely, you know, for wine tasting.
Yeah.
And there to just, like, get drunk. And who are there, like, I got to take – like who do you think is the percentage of people there to take a prereq versus – just there because they saw wine tasting and said that would be hilarious?
I would say probably a third.
A third? Okay. A third is there.
Maybe a quarter, something like that, I would say. Because I assume a lot of it is for the brewery portion of the school. Okay. So
that's because I want to know now that you brought the idea of there being wine tasting, that opens up an entirely new avenue of just like bullshit courses.
And here's the thing, is beverage management. Like, let's look at beverage fundamentals.
Really, I'm finding something fun or interesting, nothing useful, because it sucks that you know, granted, so, they have to do this all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really does suck. However, it's because of my GI Bill specifically, I have to, in order for them to pay for it, I would have to either A, be a half-time student, or B, be a full-time student. So
you have to take more courses.
So, yeah, I would have to take more courses in order to not pay / make it worth
Hold on. Stop then.
Okay, I'm listening. I'm listening.
How many courses does it take? How many credits will it have to take for you to have to – for them to pay it? What's our magic number that we have to hit, Rick?
So half, assuming all courses, with the exception of journalism, tactics, and fundamentals. Let's assume all courses are 3. Specifically, they have to – it would be – halftime would be 2 courses.
Okay.
And then full-time would be 4.
All right.
Okay. Looking at it this way, if I go halftime, they pay half of a housing allowance. If I go full-time, I get a full housing allowance to them paying for
it. I guess my question is this. This is my ultimate question, Rick Foster, for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What is the magic number we want to hit? And how many useless languages can you learn? And I say useless languages, not like French or any spoken language. Well, like I'm saying, is there an Esperanto course on your campus, and can you take it?
Well, oh man, it's like okay. You know what's really funny is that like story.
Can we find you a Latin course? You're learning old English next week.
I want
someone to know how to read Beowulf. God damn it! And I want it to be.
I can barely do cross-cultural communication. Now you want me to read Latin? Come on, man.
I would love for you to just come and like, hi. It's like, what are you taking next week, Rick? I'm learning Esperanto and a language that nobody uses. Like, it can't be just like, oh, I'm learning Swahili. Somebody uses that language. Can't be Japanese. Many people use that language. Can't be Arabic. Can't be any useful language that is this. It has to be like not just a dead language, but a dead universal language that never, ever happened.
And I tell people this story, and then it just everyone is the expert. You know, it seems like you're the expert, Mark. You know,
because I understand pain, because like where what RB in the chat room is also getting screwed over his education there with rent and everything else, which sucks to hear, of course.
It really does, because I mean they also in. I mean, we can go super deep into the story or not, but there is a portion of this two-credit hilarity that I met with someone, and she's like, yeah, we have late start courses, like, in
Rick,
July.
Rick, I don't mean to interrupt. We've already found your language from the chat room. It's Cornish. It's a country in England which has its own language. Only one person is left alive who speaks it. We're going to learn Cornish. God. You're going to start translating whatever English writing is still in Cornish. I don't even know anymore. I mean, I know Middle English at least has some useful things like Chaucer and stuff like that, but fuck that. No, we're going to teach you – oh, shoot. What is the – we can teach you Welsh. Welsh is a fun language. People still do speak Welsh, but Welsh is fun because it sounds a little bit like Scottish. It sounds like a language, but it makes – like you hear Welsh and you can kind of hear the hints of English somewhere in there. like the murmurs of a language you may understand, but you won't understand it. That is Welsh. Welsh is like this – there are murmurs to some language there, and you hear it and you're like, I think I caught a word. And you're like, no, you missed it entirely. Going back,
they're like, yeah, you can take like these 2 1 credit classes and they're all on Saturday. And I'm just like, so are you, I'm like, so is Metro going to pay for my rent when I can't, because I'm taking Saturday classes because Saturday, you know, working on the weekends is a huge source of my income, in addition to I'm already taking 10 credits currently, or 9 credits.
What is a 1 credit course on a weekend? What would it be? Like, what could it – what would you learn on a weekend?
I assume it's either a leadership thing or something where you get a lame certificate in – something. I don't know, man.
Like,
it's
what,
just
what, like what at what point, like, this is where I get the ridiculousness of like of those sorts of things. It's just like, at what point do you go like, what can you learn, like, and again, an hour course on a weekend would basically be you'd be there.
It's not even an hour, it is an all-day affair for like
oh my god, that's a goddamn, that's a freaking, that's a seminar. That is a on the job training seminar stuff. Echo Proxy joined the chat. Another good friend of ours as well. No, a 1 hour course. I'm more excited for you going to the like, because like we're talking about this a bit in the pre show, but since I've went to college and you know you're in the day of college.
Modern.
Since I've gone to college, which has been about a good seven years removed by now, we're at a point now where people can get scholarships by playing esports. Like you can get an Overwatch scholarship in college, which is awesome and amazing and cool. But to me, that also means that there's going to be like weird courses in college. And there always has been weird courses in that you look at like who the fuck would take, you know, X, Y, or Z. I mean, learning about the idea that you have a wine tasting course is like, that's kind of crazy, but it makes sense. There's brewmaster, but the idea that like, you can get a degree in being a brewmaster. And people are saying, hey, you know, how about something useful, everything like that. And I realize that useful is the idea. And obviously in the end, you'll probably will. It's just because it's an elective and because he's, you know, like in all facts of the word, you should be graduating.
Yes,
like you've done 100%. Everything that your degree plan has set out. You have done every requirement. you should have already be – you already by this is where the frustration is, and this is why I'm trying to make light of it, not because I'm not equally as frustrated for you.
But trust me. Yeah. It's everyone in the sun has made light of it, and I'm really glad that – like I think what upsets me the most is that specifically if you're obviously in the demo of the show ranges, you know, from young to old. Specifically, I'm speaking to young students out there. When you see your best friends walk across the stage on a web stream of a graduation, and you're like, man, I am almost there, and I'm taking these summer classes. I'm taking a 10-credit load over the summer, and I'm good.
So we should point out, just to make it easier, because our technical in the chat room asks an important question: is it your fault or the college's? And I'll put it this way: typically when you start approaching graduation, you tend to look and say, "All right, what do I have left to do?" And he did that last time. And then he came back this time when he applied for it and says, like, well, you're 2 credits short. Like, well, the system said I
wouldn't. Here's the deal is that it is part my fault of, you know, not, you know, kicking down the door and being like, hey, this thing that I keep saying that needs to be fixed needs to be corrected today. I'm not leaving this office until it is fixed. That's what should have happened in order to see an issue if, you know, it would have arisen. It is on the school's fault, in my opinion, again. When you apply for summer graduation, they don't let you know that you're good to go until 3 weeks into the semester. And this isn't even talking about Maymester. We're talking 3 weeks into June.
Right. And if you've never done college, is it kind of give an idea?
Yep.
Typically – you can take
summer classes, fall, spring, and summer courses.
Summer courses are usually for people who want to either A, get ahead in certain things, or B, are a little behind and want to kind of catch up. You know, you don't have to take courses in summer, but if you do, it benefits you either getting more. And we've heard before that Rick is the kind of guy that was taking 10-hour course loads apparently sound a little low current to Rick, so let me boost myself up.
It's probably because I'm yelling. I lowered my
input a bit because I thought it was – I saw it was kind of
peaking,
and I didn't want to overmodulate, as they say. But, you know, so if you – putting all the things together that Rick's the kind of guy that's taking the max amount you can take in summer and a good healthy amount you can take in fall and still work a job and everything else like that, you know – I'll put it this way. Last time we talked to Rick Foster was back at E3. E3 had just kind of kicked off. It was done. And he was telling me how he's graduating this summer. He's like, that's awesome. In fact, that's been the kind of concept, is that he's been graduating. So it's not like he hasn't kept up with all these data points.
That's right. It was
– Yeah, that's why
– Like
why
2 weeks – 2 weeks into June. Is that right? Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
I did not know.
With all these data points of like – that you have been – graduating to the point where even prior to that, when we talked, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna graduate next year. It's like, cool. So that, you know, I know you're watching this like a hawk, and that's usually what you do when you're actually caring about college and you're kind of in the end of it all. You're going like, what do I have left to do? Because you want to finish it up, you want to see what happens. And you know, learning it that late in the game, it's like, well, shit, if I'd known already, I would have taken, you know, bird chanting 101 or something like that.
Well, and it's – like I said, I think it goes back to – it's not that I'm upset that I'm 2 credits short. And, you know, if I'm 2 credits short, whatever. I'm upset that I've busted my ass to do this summer semester. And when all in reality, I could have just took the summer off again and just rolled into the fall and just, you know, took another class in addition.
That, and that's the point, is that
he did
to bust his ass to get stuff done, and then now he's here. And the only reason I'm even making light of it isn't because I'm not angry for you, as you can kind of hear as the friend. It's more because if I don't make light of this, Rick's mind's going to actually dwell on it, and he's probably going to kill somebody. Because I would be – if I were in that position, like I would have killed somebody. Like I would have – like my mother would have been like – something would have happened where like I'm going to choke somebody out, because it's like I'm that damn close, And no one told me. I was like that damn close when I applied for this thing where it's like, hey, you want to apply for that? Yeah, totally. Too bad. It's too short. And it's just like, but we're already deep in the summer. Well, fuck it. Guess you're going to have to take, you know, next summer some bullshit. Enjoy. Yeah. And it's just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's – no. That's terrible. That's horrible horseshit. But
yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, you're – it happens. And it's not what you do after. It's what you – or I'm sorry. It's not what you do during. It's what you do after you hear the news. It's like, you know, you either let it bother you and you get pissed off and you you kind of lose your way and you lose your track. But – or you take it and you crunch it up and you stick it down someone's throat and be like, well, I guess – this is going to be my benefit, not your benefit.
Yeah,
on that.
That's why I'm. That's the only reason I'm making light of it, because I want you. Because I want, you know, my friends. You know, I want you to graduate because you're a friend. I want you to be done with this whole thing, because that's what the great part of college is to be done with it all. So you can actually do stuff. You can finally do something that you want to do. But, and that because I know it's been sort of a, you know, part of your entire life. You know, it's been one of the missions in life to do this, to go through college and everything else. You know, we've had a show prior before in terms of you've been in the military, you've done all these kind of crazy things, and you're one of the favorite people on the planet, I know. That being said, though, I do want you to take just a completely utterly useless course and report back. Only because I want to know what's there. I want the dream.
Here's – okay.
Well, because I always think of like, do you remember the – there's a movie back in the 90s called – was it PCU? Was it with what's his face from from Entourage, not Entourage, shit, what is it? Is it Jeremy Piven, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, he's from Entourage.
Yeah. I think he's in a PCU. It's like this sort of weird college course, but he's like playing some type of college kid. You may look it up. But there's a point in the movie where I guess somebody had like destroyed some kids' papers, and so Jeremy Piven's like passing out like term papers to college kids that need it or something, whatever. And this one kid, it's a great scene because this kid goes like, "I need term paper." We're like, "All right, what are you majoring in? Kinesiology? Get out!" You know, kinesiology's a gym course. That's the joke, really. And that's what I want. I want like
John Favreau was in this movie.
Really?
Interesting. David Spade.
Yeah, yeah. PCU is
and George Clinton.
Yeah, George Clinton. That was George Clinton's there too. Fucking part. I think the entire Funkadelic's in there too. If I'm not mistaken.
Yep, them too. Fun fact: Jeremy Piven complains in the DVD audio commentary that actors were not allowed by the director to improvise at all. He was able to include a limited improvisation by appealing to the writers directly. Production schedules were challenged by when Piven, who is active in anti-malaria charities, contacted malaria on a trip to Guatemala, which infected him while filming. Huh.
Interesting.
I didn't really PCU.
Yeah, PCU. It's an old 90s movie.
Distributed by 20th Century Fox.
It has its moments, but it's one of those things. Like
that time of 79 minutes. Oh, my God.
I love your look at it. It's one of those movies that, like, there's certain scenes I remember from that film. But, yes, I want to find those courses. I want to find those things that exist, just because like those are the ones that like fascinate me so much. Just the idea of these, the idea that, and this is not to diss anyone taking any courses, anything. If you're at a collegiate course and you're going through, whether your degree is in psychology or English or kinesiology, rock on, you keep doing you. But even, you know, that there's some, like, we're talking again, the, even in a degree plan like journalism, that there's the intro to tech. What is it? Tricks and techniques to journalism or something?
Oh, it is journalism techniques and tactics.
Like, that is not that doesn't belong as a college course. Like we said before, that's the thing you mail off for. That's the thing that's like, all right, welcome to Journalism 101. Today we're going to talk about
reporting.
No, this is what you say. Today we're going to talk about – there it is. You say that thing. Like that's the – that's part of the syllabus. That is a syllabus of a bigger course. That is not a two – that is not worth two credits. It should not be a college course. A professor shouldn't have to waste their time teaching that course or a TA.
I feel like this portion, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you'll get an inside look of what that class is, so you yourself can
we'll talk about that in the post show, but it's one of those things. We should probably move on because I have no idea. It was I honestly like when it comes to scheduling, because we'd had Rick on way back in E3 and he was originally going to be the only person on. Then Drew Snyder, another good friend, chimed in and said, hey, I'd like to, you know, if there's room, I'd love to be on there too. And so we got that, but I haven't had Rick on in a while, like solo, and it's been so okay.
It's usually what happens is, because I am a phenomenal student, I'm getting credits and all that stuff.
I don't know, Rick. Are you a two credit journalist? Tips and techniques student? are you a one credit all day session on how to be
on Saturdays,
be the best version of Saturdays. Who you can be? I don't know. I want to know what that one day course is. I want it to be something like motivational speaking. You know what it could be? For all you know, that 1 hour course might be speaking of movies, and that's because Rick and I like talk about movies. It could be like that scene that what was it in what was that drug movie where at the end it's the ass to ass? Oh fuck, what was the name of the movie? Ass to ass. Oh fuck, what was that movie?
The guy gets
his hand cut off and it'll come to me. Because it's Requiem for a Dream.
Okay. Never seen that, actually. Okay. Surprisingly.
Wow. Okay, because in Requiem for a Dream, one of the
– go on.
Spoiler alert.
You just made the list.
Movie, it's happened already. One of the characters – all the characters get addicted to some type of drug. We'll just put that. Mm-hmm. And the mother gets addicted to amphetamines. And for some reason she's like watching this thing that's like Juice by Annie, like some weird fucking like infomercial that she's addicted to. And I want it to be what if that was the case? What if your 1 hour college course was like a Ronco presentation? Like, oh, you're there to learn about the fucking Hollywood, you know, Turner or whatever the fuck it is, the roasting machine that they just, you know, do spits and like empowered by, you know, something.
I wish it was something just like the one credit Saturday all day 7 hour bullshit. I wish it was something in my field.
Never going to be like, in your field. That's the point. Is that these courses that we're looking at are not in your field because you're
like
field
I wish it was. I wish it was like, okay, Rick, we do have a portfolio class that you can beef up your reel and teach you. We'll teach you like.
That
you know, putting
that
the good
be,
stuff.
Like,
and,
that would be useful. An internship somewhere would be useful.
Yeah,
and all those things would be useful. Those are not two-hour courses. Those are actually worthwhile things. Two-hour courses, this is why I find it so fascinating that they even exist. Jello Shots 101, NECA Proxy says in the room. That would be kind of useful.
Yeah, it's
how to make the perfect Jello shot. That's
here's
that's
the thing.
Long.
Yeah,
that's
a, I think what's going to happen, and this is, and again, this is something I do have to talk with my significant other with, because she is a part of the process like I am, even though she is not doing my classes and all that stuff. I think specifically it's probably going to be one class in my field, probably a Spanish class.
Okay.
Because Spanish language or Espanol language and you know all that stuff is really
very
starting to pump up around here at least.
Well, even the idea of like if you think about the idea of being bilingual in Spanish, as weird as that sounds, one of the markets in journalism and television in general that's kind of exploding, and that's wherever you are, especially here in the United States, exploding. Is Mexican coverage. You can work for something like a Telemundo or Univision or something like that, even as just an intern and just having that knowledge. It's like, cool, you're hired. And and there's a lot of really, really amazing journalists that have gone that route or that are in that route. I forget the main guy. One of the main guys, it's I think primarily CNN is like now at Univision and he's like there's a lot of amazing reporters there. So it's like an entirely valid entry point. And two, it's also a useful language to have in general.
Yeah.
My mother, while she was doing her RN stuff when I was kind of a kid, and during when I was born, so she had to kind of make some money on the side while my dad was doing all of his residencies. She was a translator. She was a technical manual translator.
Uh-huh.
To the point was when she stopped doing it because everything was kind of done and all said, and you know, I was born. A lot of like people were like, no, you can't. You're great. We'll pay you more. Like it got to the point where they would actually hire more kind of thing. So yeah, it's even knowing that is useful for sure. But yeah, that makes sense. Like those are all things. And the only reason I make light of it is because I love the idea of these courses existing, even if they don't exist. Because the chances are they don't exist. None of these like really useless courses I'm making up ever really exist. But I love the idea of a, again, if you've ever been in a university or college, there's usually this book of like, here's all the courses you can take. And you look and you see like, who the hell would take this? And you wonder, like, why is that there? And this is the reason why. It's because someone's like, well, you're 2 credits short. How about you take introduction to introduction to basket weaving, you know, basket weaving 104. It's like 102. Why is that? Why is there a second one? Because then you start seeing that there's, you know, upper the courses that are the weird ones. All right. So let's move on. I don't know what to move on to, but it's fun to get Rick on. And like I said, it was mainly to
rile me up. And
well,
and
then, I didn't realize that was going to you would come in this hot. I didn't know that this had been an issue since, you know, that far back, because I'd been like, cool, Rick's graduating. And we've talked about that, like, summer's over. I can calm down and everything else. Well, beyond that, what else have you been up to?
Well, surprisingly, you know, when you're doing school stuff and everything like that, and you're trying to figure out what the fuck you're going to do with your life. specifically, my friends and I were actually entering a 48-hour film festival.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's something to talk about.
Yeah, so what was it? Yesterday, you know, we kind of – this has been in a work in progress over the last month and a half, something like that. Almost 2 months, yeah, because we kind of developed a team and we've worked together in a short as well. And we're all comfortable with each other. And 48-hour, you know, film is really, like, stressful and stuff like that. And none of us have done it, so we're all kind of playing it by ear in the pre-planning stuff
out. And for those who, who don't quite understand what goes in the filmmaking process, I think a lot of our audience does now because we've had, you know, filmmakers on, we've had game developers on, we've had a lot of creatives. We tend to kind of focus on that sort of side of things. There's a lot that goes into simply not just shooting. You know, people think like, well, one of the hardest things I think you can do in film that you don't realize it's hard is making a short movie. And we talk about like a 15-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds like it'd be easy, like, oh, 15 minutes, I can record that and that. No, it's that you start making this idea of how do you tell the story of what you're trying to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a specific like challenge, and specifically for like 48 for those sort of 48-hour film festivals, basically 2 days of just straight, you know, doing stuff. They usually give you a prompt of some sort.
Correct. So basically, in order to keep the stuff fair, essentially everyone meets up at a designated location Friday night about 6. And then basically you draw from a hat of your genre, your name that you have to use, a line, and a prop. And you have to incorporate all that stuff in your film specifically.
Oh, man.
That is like almost like Iron Chef.
Iron Chef kind of
stuff. It really is. It's, you know, the special ingredient is...
horror.
Jelly beans, you know.
Jelly beans.
Yeah.
Jelly beans in a horror film. Actually, you could do jelly beans in a murder mystery. Just have the killer be the guy that just, like, you know, as his calling card, just, you know, jelly beans down the throat. Asphyxiating on jelly beans.
But yeah, so we are. That's what we're. I think we're anticipating on, like, you can't go in being like, oh fuck, I hope I don't get Western or musical.
Right. Then, you have to be, yeah, you have to,
that's what you get
to do anything. That's even harder than I thought, because usually it's like your prompt is this, make a movie in that, but yours is like, no, pick from the grab bag of stuff. And it could be like, you're making a horror, you know, a horror movie, and you're given a squeaky hammer, and you're just like, okay, I guess I got to do something with squeaky hammer and horror. And that actually sounds really kind of fun, especially when it's kind of figuring out how to do those sorts of things and think, you know, we talk the concept of thinking outside the box. That is thinking way outside the box, because it's the idea of like, here is a random assortment of things, make something in 48 hours, no less.
Yeah, in 48. So it's we're all comfortable with working with each other, and we all kind of know our duties at this point. It's just gathering the extra people, specifically the people that actors. Surprisingly, actors, man. yeah, it.
Usually, that's the easy part.
Usually, it's the easy part. But
it's like, I want to be in a movie.
When you're the production aspect, and you're just like, oh yeah, like I want to shoot and blah blah blah, because at this point, a casting director takes care of that. Well, none of us are like casting directors or any of that stuff, and we all aren't going to shell out money for a casting director for a 48-hour film festival and all that stuff. And so we went to kind of a pre-meeting, and we kind of talked to a couple actors that were looking for a group. And specifically, one guy, he has like minimal acting experience, and we're just like, well,
you'll do nicely.
Well, and it wasn't even that. It was just like, dude, like, everyone here, like, because there's people that, like, have their folder, and they, here's my resume, and they're like, I can sing, I can dance, and, like, and it's just like, we don't want that. Specifically,
you're
we
too
want
expensive.
Well, and it's all of it is volunteer.
Can you work for chips?
Yeah, and it's just like,
about food.
At the end of the day, I think we all want a product that we can all be like, you know what? That's going on the reel, man. Right. And I'm really proud of that.
And I think that's the idea behind a lot of these film festivals is it either A, is for some type of award, which is always great and fun. Two, it's for the experience of that, because the idea is you know, the one thing that you learn when you have any of these challenges, whether it be game jams, whether it be 48-hour film festivals, or even week, you know, all these sort of things, is you start to learn how to budget your time. And the idea being of, all right, we're coming close to the end. What features, what things can I scrap that are just not doing it? You get to the point where it's stressful, it's horrible, well, it's
look
crazy.
Look at it this way. Paperwork stuff. We have to turn in a whole bunch of paperwork. That's something when you're on a time crunch, not all of us can think about, because we're thinking about putting out that final product. And then when you have to rush to the, you know, the drop-off point, and you're like, oh shit, I don't have any of the music clearance stuff, and I don't have any of the sign form things. And luckily, my good friend, your good friend, Sharon, is going to be our paper roundup person, because she isn't comfortable with camera stuff or acting or any of that sort of thing. And I'm just like, well, listen, I'm not going to be here over the weekend, and I would totally, totally love your fucking help.
We should probably tell Sharon is your
girlfriend. Yes,
is your significant other. The significant other, other that that was priorly mentioned
that
to talk to you and stuff like that.
Correct.
To kind of mention that
previous guest of this show,
right, for sure. Awesome person, great individual. Mm-hmm. But that being all said, like, yeah, there's all those other things you don't think about for any of these productions, you know, whether it be game development, movie development, or otherwise. That having that like time crunch goes and amplifies. To that, when it comes to the real thing, and you have a little bit more time than 48 hours, I say a little bit more time because that, you start to go and say, all right, cool. When do we want to have this come out by? Boom. Mm-hmm. And then that's because a lot of people don't quite understand what a producer does in a film. The three things a producer does, obviously, is get the money.
Yeah.
that is what a producer does. But within the idea of getting the money, also comes the idea of all right, well, to come in budget, we got to release by this date. So here are the time frames that we have to. Mm-hmm. Here's all the things we have to do within that time allotment, and you have a hard deadline of 48 hours. So it's getting the money, which is no money, but get the money.
Yep.
Get the money.
So we've already accomplished that point.
Right. You've already accomplished that. But you still have to go and say, fuck, I have 48 hours to shoot X, Y, or Z in. And it's the idea of like, here's what you're shooting today. Here's what you're shooting in 48 hours. Make something. And it's just like, ah, you know, yep. And it's fun.
It's going to be a huge blast. And I think we're all really anxious on starting, on shooting it and all that stuff. Because this is all pre-planning and we're all kind of figuring out people's roles and how many people we need without going, you know, having too many people that end up standing around. And a lot of it, when it comes to 48-hour film festival, the rules are, you know, you can't shoot anything until the actual, you know, it's game time. However, the big thing is pre-planning. You can't just be like, 48 hours, oh, okay, I can start,
Everyone kind of, you know, needs to come in sort of, I mean, even in game development and game jams, everyone kind of comes in knowing what their roles are going to be. It's like, all right, you're programming, you're doing music, you're going to do graphics, XXXX. Same thing in films, all right, you're taking the role of producer sort of thing, you're taking the role of casting director, and sometimes those roles are shared across, or sometimes those are multiple hats. Like, in other words, like, you might be, you're producer, and congratulations, you're also director too, or, you know, you're producer and camera guy.
Yeah, for example, I was going to say I'm editor, but I'm also doing some graphic stuff with After Effects specifically, because I have the computer that can handle it, and then I have, you know, somewhat experience, or at least I can fake it through tutorials.
Right. You have out of your team, out of your ensemble of characters. You know, think of it almost like you would a video game type thing. Out of your ensemble of characters, you have the skill points allotted to After Effects usage and editing tech. Whether or not you're highly proficient in that doesn't matter. It's the idea.
Yeah.
You can do it. Cool. You do it. I can do this. And that's why you have a share. It's like, I can handle paper. Awesome. Congratulations, you're in.
Congratulations, you are the paper person.
Right, and that's what it boils down to, and that's why I love them so much, because it becomes the idea of figuring out all that things. Like, that's part of the pregame in general, but, you know, come game time, that helps you. I mean, again, no matter what the event is, you usually have those things, you know.
Yeah.
You have your defense, you have your offense, you have your you know, your strikers, whatever, that kind of stuff. Same thing goes in any of these festivals. I love that idea of just, of like, how many hats a person wears to kind of help the team out. Cause there's always, you know, cause what'll happen in the thing, someone's going to need some type of a boost, and it's going to be like, who can give that assist right then and there to help out in that stressful moment. Cause I'm excited for you, because all of it really is, you know, final product aside, cause you want to make sure it's good.
Yeah.
But to make sure it's good, it's all the idea of how much pressure can you handle? And it sounds, it sounds like, why would you do that to yourself? You do that to yourself because that's the real world. Because there's going to become a time where you're going to have to, you know, make something quick. You're going to have to get that pitch deck ready, because someone's going to say, hey, do you have that pitch deck ready for your idea for blah, 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 blah? It's like, yeah, totally. I got my pitch deck ready. And it's the night before. Yeah. You're like, I got nothing ready. And you're going to make that pitch deck right then, right there. Mm-hmm. Else you're not going to get that deal. I always remember the story in the commentary for Street Fighter the movie. Was that the guy wrote the script in a weekend because the Capcom execs were leaving that next Monday, and they literally needed to pitch something to them, and so he wrote something in a weekend. You know, that sounds crazy, and that obviously
yeah, it really is.
And it shows why, and the final product shows it is. But it's the idea that because you're doing stuff like this, Rick, that you're getting used to doing these very time crunch things, you get that experience of how you would approach it, right? In a bigger thing. Rick, we have hit the hour. We are out of time, in my opinion.
We've
chatted about everything from your college courses to 48-hour film festival and everything else like that. Rick, when all is said and done, though, you do a whole lot of other stuff, or you're going to be starting doing a whole lot more stuff in the future, because once you're done graduating, once you're done with all this hassle, and once you've made your film thing, whatever, people are going to want to know how they can follow you, Rick, and how they can keep up with your adventures in life. Where can people go and do so, Rick?
Specifically, they can go to rickfoster.org. It's going to have all my social media stuff. Pretty much any video project that I do usually goes up on a post on there. Specifically, when it comes to the 48-hour film, I don't...
Echo in the chat room says, yeah, Rick, how can we stalk you?
Yeah, just, you know, either rickfoster.org or at Rick Foster on Twitter. Specifically, I'll definitely be pushing out anything 48-hour film once that stuff is finished. That is going to happen at the first weekend of August, so 4, 5, 6, specifically.
That's awesome.
And then the week after, we're going to be at our premiere that they premiere everybody's film over the course of a day. And then from there, I think we can release it if we don't do a super, if we don't like rack up awards at that point. Because I think if you end up racking up a ton of awards, then you move on to the next level. And I think they still want an exclusive on that. I don't know.
If you don't see it in August,
I'm dead or we're doing really good.
Which is so good. I think that's a good that's a good problem to have. That's a good problem to have, being dead or having awards and stuff. Okay. I don't know. Dead. If you died, you wouldn't have to do those 2 more hours. You wouldn't have to do.
That's true.
You wouldn't have to do your day. You know your intro to Navy Knots 101. I don't know why that's in an intro course because Navy Knots are useful.
You know what? I'm going to try and look up a course on video gaming. That's what I think I'm going to do.
That should be your mission for sure.
Maybe how to stream from your computer on stuff.
There you go. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. They're the chat rooms and the Twitters. If you want to catch previous episodes of the podcast, get to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you find links to show notes. The show is a Twitter account, and of course, after you've helped out Rick with all his endeavors and you want to help this podcast out, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and help the show become bigger, better, and more awesome. So that is it for today. Until next time, talk to other people about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people!
Too sweet!
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.